Welcome to the Torah Simecha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Baum, and today we will be learning Parshas Emor. So Parshas Emor, like Kedoshim that comes before it, is comprised of numerous mitzvos, including the commandments regarding the Yemim Tovim. The Parsha starts off with the halachos of who a Kohen and Kohen Gadol can marry, the laws of who can eat Truma, the food items given to the Kohen, and the laws regarding the Kohanim who have Mumim, some sort of physical defect. Then the Parsha discusses which animals cannot be brought as a korban, including an animal with a mum, specific physical defects, and an animal less than 8 days old. The Torah then tells us the prohibition of slaughtering an animal and its mother on the same day. After comes the famous pasuk, "V'lo seschalalu Hashem kachi v'niktashti v'soch b'nei Yisrael," that you shall not profane my holy name, that I may be sanctified in the midst of B'nai Yisrael, which of course is the commandment to make a Kiddush Hashem, to sanctify Hashem's name, and the prohibition of not making a Chilul Hashem, desecrating God's name, Chas V'Shalom. The Parsha then goes on to state the commandments regarding the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, as well as the commandment to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah and to fast on Yom Kippur. Also included are the commandments to bring the Karban Omer on Pesach, to count 49 days, and then bring the Karban of the Shtei HaLechem, the two loaves of bread, which was brought on Shavuos. The Parsha ends with the halachos of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, the commandment to bake the Lechem HaPanim, which were the loaves of bread which sat on the Shulchan, laws about property damage, the prohibition of hitting one's father or mother, and finally, the Parsha ends with the infamous story of the Mekalel, right? The son of Shlomis Bas Divri and the Mitzri, who was aggrieved about not being allowed to camp with Shevet Dun, the Shevet of his mother. He cursed Hashem, and he was ultimately killed. So Parshas Emor is a Parsha full of mitzvos, many of which are very relevant to us, namely the Yomim Tovim and all of their encompassing details. So let's take a closer look at two of these Yomim Tovim, and more specifically, the time that spans between them. After stating the commandment to observe the Yom Tov of Pesach on the 15th day of the first month, and to not eat chametz for 7 days, the psukim go on to tell us that after harvesting the crop, we bring an omer, which can be translated as a sheaf, a stalk, or as a measurement, and we'll see really the word omer refers to both stalk and measurement. But first, after harvesting his crop, a person brings an omer, a bundle of his stalks, to the Kohen. And this is a form of bikurim, a truma. Before we eat from our crop, we dedicate a portion to Hashem. The Gemara explains that the grain of the omer refers to seorim, barley, which is the earliest crop to be harvested. Thus, when we harvest the first of our produce for the year, we set aside a portion for Hashem. The Kohen would first perform tenufa with the omer, a special kind of waving process. And then, like the Sefer HaChinuch explains the process, the Kohen would take an omer, now translated as a measurement of the omer, of the stalks of barley that was brought, put it through a sifting process until it became flour, mix it with oil, and bring it as a mincha alongside a keves, a sheep, as a carbon ola, with its own accompanying mincha. So this yearly ritual, which was known as the Karban Omer, took place each year on what the verse refers to as Mimacharas HaShabbos, which the Gemara teaches us refers to the second day of Pesach, the 16th of Nisan. Then the Torah tells us that once this Karban Omer was brought, we count 49 days, 7 complete weeks, and on the 50th day we are instructed to bring another Karban, 2 loaves of a special kind of bread known as the Shtei HaLechem. Now, the Torah also instructs us in Parshas Emor that any grain that had grown between last year's Omer and this year's Omer, known as Chadash, new grain, could not be eaten until the Omer was brought on the second day of Pesach. Once the Karban Omer was brought, all of the new grain became what is referred to as Yashan, old grain, and can now be eaten. The one caveat was that although it was permissible to eat from the new grain, until the Shtei HaLechem was brought 50 days later on Shavuos, one could not bring a karban from the new grain. Only after the Shtei HaLechem was brought, the new grain now was not only permissible to eat, but also permissible to use in minchos as karbanos. So we have the Karban Omer, in which it is permissible to eat new grain. We wait another 7 weeks, and then we have the Karban Shtei HaLechem, after which it's permissible to use the new grain as our karbanos. The days between the Karban Omer and the Karban Shtei HaLechem are of course known as what we refer to as Sfiras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer, alluding to the start day of the counting, the day that we brought the Karban Omer. And of course, that start time coincides with Pesach, and the end time coincides with Shavuos. So although the Torah does not explicitly state that the start date and end date have anything to do with the Moadim, with the holidays on which they fall, and in fact on the surface, these weeks of counting seem only connected to the Omer, Shtei Halachem, permission to eat and sacrifice from the new grain, it goes without saying that, of course, the holidays of Pesach and Shavuos coinciding with this process is, of course, no coincidence at all. So let's explain. The Karban Omer was brought from Seorim, like we said, barley. Barley is a cheaper, more coarse grain than wheat, and is referred to in the Gemara as ma'achol behema, the food of animals. In fact, one of the reasons an isha sota, a woman suspected of acting unfaithfully, brings a karban made from seorim, from barley, is because, like the Chazal explained, she acted animal-like, so too she brings the food of animals as her karban. So as opposed to the classic mincha, the classic non-animal karban made of solas, the fine wheat flour, the karban we bring on the second day of Pesach is made from barley. Moving on to the Shtei HaLechem, generally speaking, one is not allowed to bring a karban made from chametz. The Pasuk in Parshas Vayikra tells us explicitly, Kol ha-mincha asher tekrivu la-Hashem, any mincha that is brought close to Hashem as a karban, lo se oseh chametz, should not be made of chametz. Chametz cannot be included. However, the Shtei HaLechem was an exception. It was a karban made of two loaves of bread, dough that had risen actual chametz. So both of these karbanos, the omer in the beginning of the process and the shtei halachem at the end of the process, are out of the ordinary. The omer is made from coarse barley, something that's typically not used as a mincha, and the shtei halachem is made from chametz, something that is generally prohibited. What exactly is going on? The Aruch HaShulchan, who's the 19th century scholar, explains the representation of chametz and matzah. He says chametz represents the dominion of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzirah acts as a leavening agent within us, spurring us to follow our desires, and left unchecked, it inflates within us until it has control over us and leads us to sin. Matzah, on the other hand, represents the Yetzirah when it is harnessed. We mix the flour and water, but before it can rise, we squelch it. It does not rule over us. Rather, we take charge over it and keep it from rising, signifying our dominion over the Yetzirah. On Pesach, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and we became an Am, we became a nation, and that was step number one. But after leaving the impurity of Egypt, in which we'd been enslaved for 210 years, and during which we had slipped to the 49th level of impurity, we were a nation in our infancy without a guide or clear direction on how to rid ourselves of the animal-like influences we had been immersed in for so long. And that's what the seorim, the barley, the coarse animal feed that we bring on the second day of Pesach represents. The Omer is a reminder of where we came from when we left Egypt. We were a new nation, still coarse from the tumah, the physicality and debasement that we were enslaved to all those years in Egypt. But after we bring this representation of our spiritual enslavement, the Torah then instructs us to count. And it is not a count down, but rather a count up. We start with one and count one more each day. When you count down to something, your eye is generally on the prize, the end result. First, there were 10 days left until the big trip. Now there's only 9 days left. But when you count up toward something, your eye is not on the end necessarily, but rather on what you accomplished thus far. One day without speaking Lashon Hara. Now I went for 2 days. Now I went for 3 days. The Alshech explains that the 7 weeks between leaving Mitzrayim and receiving the Torah were necessary so that we were able to intentionally and with effort remove the impure baggage we had accumulated during our living in Egypt. And so we count the days upwards. One day in which we removed ourselves from negative influences. Now it's 2 days. Now it's 3 days. And we keep building on each day that came before. It is not coincidental that we count 49 days between Pesach and Shavuos. Perhaps we can say each day of intentional effort shed one layer of the 49 levels of impurity we had fallen to in Mitzrayim. And finally, at the end of our count up, we reach the date on which we accepted the Torah. When we had separated ourselves from the Tumah of Mitzrayim long enough to be able to say Naaseh V'Nishma and accept the Torah as our moral compass and guide. And with it, we became masters over the sa'ar, masters over the barley, masters over our animal-like instincts. No longer were we purely physical and at the service of our desires, our taivos. Now we were truly free to be in control of our yetzahara, like the Mishnah says, in l'cha ben choren elamisha osek batorah. The one who is truly free is one who immerses himself in Torah, for he is not enslaved to his physical whims, but rather he controls his own choices. He controls what he eats, what he says, where he goes, the activities he engages in. Perhaps this is why it's the process of the Omer that allows us to eat from the new grain. We cannot simply eat what we want when we want it. Rather, there's a process involved. We plant our crop. We harvest it. We take off a portion for Hashem. We bring the Omer. Now you can eat it. But wait, you still can't sacrifice it. Wait another few weeks. Bring another carbon. Now the new grain is permissible for sacrifices. Being an Eved Hashem, following a Torah way of life, is all about being in control of the choices we make, putting boundaries on the physical parts of life, and utilizing all of our faculties in the service of Hashem. Which is why on Shavuos, we bring the Shtei HaLechem, Chametz, as our carbon. Now that we have accepted the Torah and internalized the concept of ruling over our animal behaviors, our physical bodies, we are demonstrating the extent of our control over our bodies. We have such bodily control that we are able to bring chametz, the representation of the rising Yetzirah, as a carbon. Because we understand that yes, the Yetzirah will always try inflating itself within us, but as long as we follow the dictates of Torah and base our decisions on what God wants us to do, we will be the ones channeling the Yetzirah, perhaps even for spiritual purposes, like using it as a carbon. And the Yetzirah will not be the one leading us. Thank you for learning with the OU Women's Initiative.